From the Fancy Lady Cowgirl headquarters, welcome to the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to everyone who embodies the cowgirl or cowboy spirit, regardless of what you wear or where you live. The guests on this show are a little fancy, a little ranchy, and they all have a kick-ass story to tell. I'm your host, Courtney Dehoff. Join me for the ride. Well, welcome to the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. I have a couple of Canadians joining me on the show today, and I am so excited to introduce you guys to Jan and Aaron Johnson of Trailblaze, her magazine. You may have seen me talk about it on Instagram. They have their sister company, The Rural Collective. Like, they're doing all the things, and I'm just waiting for them to bring it all down here to the States. So Jan and Aaron, hello, how are you?
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning to you, Courtney.
Thank you, ladies. I just love everything that you're doing, and I absolutely love your magazine, Trailblaze Her. The stories are impeccable, and it's so beautifully done. We're going to dig in to all things magazine, but I want to talk about you ladies first, because we've sort of been chatting back and forth now for, I don't know how long, a while, but yeah. I just want to chat a little bit more about your stories. You guys had an Instagram post that I think I messaged you, and I was like, I love this, and it was like fun facts about each of you, and I was like, okay, they're even cooler than I imagined. So Jan, Aaron, let's start with just a little bit about each of you. Jan, why don't you go first?
The matriarch.
Yeah, because I have a longer history than Aaron. Well, you know, I was a single parent from the time Aaron was 7 and her brother was 9. And, you know, I've always been really fiercely determined to, carve out a career that made sense to me, that I was passionate about. And, you know, that isn't always easy when you're doing it on your own financially. But, you know, hello out to all the single moms out there who are doing it. It's not an easy job. But, you know, when Aaron was finishing school, we were just really talking about the idea of, geez, could we do a business together, and what would that look like? And so we started on this entrepreneurial path together as Aaron was graduating, and we've been at it now for over 20 years. It was an interesting transition, going from mom to business partner, because you're going from somebody who, you know, thinks they know it all with their child to, okay, now we need to share, we need to talk, we need to build in a way that works for both of us. So I think that's been part of the great learning and the partnership that we've had as well. And I am still fiercely entrepreneurial. I've had obviously work through the years for other people, but I have a need to create and to tell stories and to really understand people. And that I believe is reflected in Trailblazer magazine.
And so having a mom like that, like, she instilled such, from an early age, resiliency and just a go-getting attitude. And I feel like we were destined to work together, because we're so passionate about showing up and finding the best way for each of us individually to bring our skills and talents and passions to the table. And I feel like, I mean, our 20 years working together has been a really hard journey. Like, it's been a huge struggle for both of us financially. We've tried so many businesses. They've flopped. We've done a couple things that have gone well, but we've never really hit on that it factor for us until I feel now. And so it's kind of cool to look back, and I feel we've had skin in the game for a lot of years. And so for us to have the success that we're having with Trailblaze is just the icing on top, because it's not only about us, this magazine, of course, it's about everyone else in it, but we get to bring our skills and passions, and we threw this baby together so fast, and she's just growing so fast.
Yeah.
So.
That is the truth.
That's so cool. And I read, I think on Instagram, you say you threw this together. First of all, let me clarify. This magazine does not look thrown together in any way. It's quite the opposite, actually. And I think I told you ladies, and I might have even shared on one of my Instagram stories, I took the magazine home actually for my mom to read over Christmas because you sent me, I think the first, you know, the first edition, and I just loved it. And so I wanted my mom to see it. And it was like a fight. It was like a family fight at Christmas because every day when my dad would come in, you know, from work, he would sit down and he was reading it and mom wanted to read it. And I was still, I hadn't even finished it. And so we sort of like laughed. We're like, wow, like we're fighting over a magazine. And full disclosure, ladies, I am not a magazine reader. It's full of, you know, you open and they're advertising and it's just like, ugh, like I'm just not a magazine. Maybe it's my generation, but there's just something so special about what you're doing. But I read that you had no magazine experience ever. So I want to talk about this because I'm there right now. Like I'm planning events. I've got this lifestyle brand. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a TV host, right? I know how to read a teleprompter and like host a show. So I want to talk a little bit about when did this first like pop up in your brain? It's like, oh, we should do a magazine. Like, what do you remember the moment?
Well, it's really only been like a little over a year, like maybe 13 months ago that we said, you know,
like decided.
Yeah. I think we should do it. And you know, the magazine came together like so fast. We had the skills of writing and designing before we even had the idea of the magazine, but it was always kind of a little secret pleasure kind of thing that we kept between us. Someday we would have a magazine, and we have some magazines on our shelf that we
collect.
Treasure them. We don't cut out pictures for vision boards with them. Like they're sacred. They're not touched because of the quality of the paper and everything. So we almost had this vision prior, but really it was last year. I mean, obviously we know when the pandemic hit the world. It was really in May, June that we said, okay, we are going to do this magazine. And we, you know, in hindsight, you think, well, it's kind of crazy given what's going on. But we thought it's needed now more than ever. Yeah. So we've always been working with women entrepreneurs. We do websites. We help them with their marketing. We coach. We have developed workshops and programs, all kinds of things.
And the commonality has always been that we're connectors. So we're really good listeners. And we just have a way of bringing out the gold of someone's story or journey or life. And so it just everything collided. And like mom was saying, we just decided like this is the time to do the magazine. We had just launched the Rural Collective and we were gathering this amazing community of rural women, and and that was it. We did it, pulled it together in 3 months.
I know, like literally mid-August of last year we had a sales rep come out from a printing company. We were talking about paper and everything, and it wasn't until September 1st that we started our interviews, and literally 2 months later on November 1st
we were shipping.
And like we're kind of amazed about that. And people have said to us, it takes teams of 12 and 15 people to put out a magazine, but it was Aaron and me and women saying yes. You know, that was a big
thing.
We
worked our butts off.
I interrupt this episode really quick. I have to go grab a cup of coffee, but not just any coffee. Oh no, here on the Cowgirl Problems podcast, the Fancy Lady Cowgirl only drinks, wait for it, Cowgirl coffee from my great friends over at Cattleman's Coffee. It is so tasty, y'all. Seriously, I always start my morning with a cup, and then I have one mid-morning, and then I have another in the afternoon. Dare I say it, it is bucking delicious, so be sure to check out Cattleman's Coffee so you can wrangle in your morning.
I commend everything that you ladies are doing, and like I said, it was the magazine that sort of drew me in, but now that I've gotten to know the two of you, I'm like, oh, they're so cool, and I think there are so many opportunities. We've got some things up our sleeves, ladies, so I'm excited to see where that goes. I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned, you know, you've been on this entrepreneurial journey for 20 plus years. And I think one thing that is really hard for men and women especially is, you know, the failures. And I think you talked about, you know, we've had a lot of things that didn't work out until we got to this point. And I really relate with that to that because, you know, For over 12 years, I was just Courtney, the television host. And I love the storytelling. I love TV. I love entertainment. And I, you know, that's still what I tell people I do. And they say, what do you do? I say, oh, I'm a TV host. But that's not entirely true. Now I have, you know, this, I just recently Googled the word lifestyle brand. And so now I'm referring to Fancy Lady Cowgirl as a lifestyle brand because I don't even know how to describe what it is. You know, like I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here. But how do you keep going? How do you keep going when things don't work out? Because I have people who come to me now that Fancy Lady Cowgirl has sort of growing and they want to know, how did you do it? How did you do it? And I think to myself, I don't know. It was just a million failures over and over and over until something worked. So how did the two of you just keep going?
I feel like there's something that you have to have in you that helps you keep getting back up. Cause I feel like I was 18 when we first started working together and just, you know, we got thrown into this. It was like, it was 20 years of ups and downs. But I feel like we are both so, we knew that we were destined for something big, and that feeling like anchored us and pulled us through, because otherwise, oh my God, we would have quit years ago after a couple huge failures in the very beginning. But don't you feel like there's something in us?
And when Aaron says that we were destined for something big, not in an ego-based way, but in an impact way, and we've always felt that we were being called internally to have an impact. And for us, it's always been working with women to have an impact in women's lives. And so, you know, I think as life has presented us ways to learn what that looks like by having challenging situations to
develop us.
Yeah, climb back out of. And so we've always had the inner sight to know that whatever the situation was really about in a particular failure, what was it developing in us? And we knew that when we were really like grounded and strong and ready, that the big thing would show up and that we were going to have the guts to step into it. That's, you know, I think that's part of it. Just having a vision that pulls you forward, and then you just can't say no to it because it's a part of you. And I think every woman has that if she wants to look for it. And I'm not saying that everyone has to go through tough times to get there, but the tough times shape you and mold you. And like, there's times where we have felt shame over situations that business ideas that didn't work out,
had to go into McDonald's and borrow toilet paper because we couldn't afford it. Humbleness.
Yeah. We've had a few tough ones.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's so good that, you know, those failures, it's so hard when you're in the midst of those failures sometimes to see, you know, that there is something coming from them. But I love what you said. You have to, you know, go through that to be ready to accept the big thing when it comes. And I relate, you know, so closely to that. When I finally got the nerve to get out of the, it wasn't 9 to 5, it was more like 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. grind of going to a daily, you know, television show. Yes, when people asked the age-old question of, well, what TV show are you on? I could answer it, but I was exhausted. I was physically and mentally just falling apart. And when I finally got the nerve to leave that and go out on my own, you know, yeah, that humbleness, man, it hit you hard. I walked dogs to pay rent. I did all of the things that I could do. And I have taken a roll or two of toilet paper from restaurants in New York because it's pricey. And sometimes you just, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that it's just such a cool story. And you know, the two of you, I feel like, are a little adventurous as well. One of the things that I loved, Erin, I read, you know, that in your 30s, you moved to Denmark. Like, hey, why not? I actually, when I was 20, I don't know, 5, 6, I moved to the Czech Republic just because. Just to see if I can put my mother over the edge. Not really. I really wanted to go, but it also was a real test of my mother. You know, you talked about at 18, you volunteered in the Amazon jungle. I know this is a little like off the path that we were going down, but I just need to know a little bit more about this, because I'm so intrigued. And I'm sure it's because the pandemic, we haven't been able to travel as much. Like, I am itching to go. The other day I was like, I should just sell everything in my apartment and move to Europe. But then I was like, well, it's gonna be a little hard to like plan events and run a company from Europe. But I want to know a little bit about the adventures.
Oh yeah. Well, the trip to Guyana, that was, I was just turning 18. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm smiling at mom because I was just getting ready to graduate from high school, and she clipped out of the newspaper this little advertisement for looking for volunteers, youth volunteers to go and tutor and help with AIDS awareness education in Guyana. And she said, look, like you could go travel and you have to fundraise. I think it was
$10,000
like to pay for it was 3 months I was gone. And that trip showed me at such a young age what I was physically and mentally made of. Like I refer back to the feelings that developed me when I was on that trip, like even now, and I'm turning 40 in a couple days, and I look back and I'm like, I wish every young person could go on a trip like that when they were that young. We camped in literally the jungle with snakes and swam in waters with piranhas, and like it was the epitome of adventure. But it was a trip with I think 12 other young people from across Canada, and someone from Australia, and we just went and helped little villages with AIDS awareness education and tutored English and whatever else they needed help with. So
And I gotta tell you a funny story about that. When she got home, so I mean, she was pretty weathered and maybe a little worse for wear.
I was hungry.
Yeah.
So, malnourished.
So one of the things that I did is we had a big dinner with all her friends over. I just wanted everyone to be able to see her all in one group. She was too exhausted to go out. Actually, post-traumatic shock,
stress
syndrome. Like, she was really showing that. But anyways, at the dinner, I know she was, you know, she'd only been home a day or so, and Erin was sitting beside me, and I noticed how quickly she was eating, like practically holding her plate up and shoveling it in. And this is not typical. And everyone was just kind of eating normally, and Erin finished her plate and picked it up and went to lick it. And it hit me just some of the things that she had experienced. And I just quietly reached over and touched her arm. I said, hey, you don't have to do that anymore. But it really hit home to me how resilient she had to be on that trip of you were hiking through the jungle, sometimes what, 20 miles a day, blisters, not getting good food. And so anyways, she's a trooper. And that was kind of my, this
was life changing for her.
It was.
Oh man, that's powerful. And I, the reason I ask is I am a travel junkie. I have not done anything quite that exotic, Erin. I've never come back malnourished, thankfully. But it's just even the trips that I've taken, man, they change your perspective. And I think when we think about sharing stories and when we think about sharing women's stories, I know that traveling is not financially possible for everyone. I totally get that. But I think I always say, you know, one of the values of the Fancy Lady Cowgirl is that she believes in the power of travel, whether it's traveling across the street to meet the neighbor she's never met, or whether it's traveling around the world, because I think that it just gives us such a different perspective. And much like you, Erin and Jan, much like you said, it really shows you what, you know, you can do. It really shows you what you're capable of. You know, there's been some moments that if my mother knew about in foreign countries, she'd probably never let me leave again, where you sort of have that, like, okay, we got to fight or flight, or like we got to survive real quick. And so I love that you share that experience. You know, going back to the sharing of women's stories, why did you decide with Trailblaze Her, why did you decide to focus solely on women?
Oh, it just seemed, it's just a natural fit. And I mean, maybe the simple answer is that we have so many shared experiences with women in so many different ways and parts of their lives that it's just an easy connection. And
we're all craving that relatability. And I think what we're noticing, I mean, we're getting ready to pull together content for our third issue for summer. And that what we're noticing is the incredible diversity of what these rural women are doing across industry, but that they're doing 10, 11, 12 things at once. Like, women are so incredible that way. They're taking care of their families. They're probably running a side hustle. They're running a full-time job. They're running a farm. They're tutoring. They're cooking. Like, it's incredible. They are trailblazers. Like, they, to us, they're the glue that's holding together these rural communities. And so we did a post yesterday calling out for content. If you're a rural woman in Canada, submit your stories. And people were like, oh, maybe one day I'll have a story to share. And I wrote back to her and I said, you have a story right now. Like, all of us have a story to share. Yeah. And that's what I think we wanted to drive home with Trailblazer, is you could be doing crazy, cool, big things with like 10,000 followers, or you can have 500 followers and be doing your own thing. It doesn't matter. The fact that you're a woman, like, following your dream or your passion, doing what you're doing in your life, like, that is story enough. And we all need to hear those stories, because that's what's relatable.
And this platform, and I just want to say, like, this platform is letting women's voices be heard. And like Erin said, their stories be told. And the gratitude and the comments that we get back, and, you know, this is probably some of the side benefits, but seeing a woman's confidence emerge, seeing her
be acknowledged,
seeing her be seen, seeing her little corner of the world get some attention when she's maybe been struggling and working for so long,
isolated.
Like, that is what satisfies us. Like, I can't even say how many times we've cried over things. We cry through some of the interviews, you know. Losing a child. We've heard so many different parts of stories, and it's making us better women to be part of it. And we're just grateful that we can provide this, and that we have, you know,
the means to do it.
The skills and the idea to continue with it. So.
Gosh, it makes me practically tear up just listening to it. And I think that's just what is so neat about what you ladies are doing. And I stand by you 100%. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. You know, the followers, that's insignificant. You know, everyone has a story worth sharing. And that's really sort of been one of the messages behind Fancy Lady Cowgirl. And, you know, we talk about all these amazing women that you're discovering and these stories, and I feel like we can all relate to one another, right? There's little bits of all of our stories that we really relate to as women like no one else can. And I love that. You know, what's next for Trailblazer? And I want to talk a little bit too about the rural collective. I don't even know how y'all have time to do all the things that you're doing, quite frankly. I'm impressed. But what is next for Trailblazer?
Oh, well, we are adding some really cool new sections to the summer magazine. We decided we want to bring in some additional things, like a make it section, some
cool rural stays and events going on across Canada. So Trailblazer, she'll keep evolving, and it's going to be we want to keep a balance of consistent content versus keeping it fresh. And so to continue showing the diversity of what rural women in Canada are doing. And I don't know, there's been talks of
of going outside of Canada.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll be standing by for that. No, that's awesome. And I want for everyone listening, anyone, we can subscribe right in the US and get a copy shipped here, right?
You sure can. Yeah. Yes. We've shipped to the US and Australia and New Zealand. So yeah, on our website, you can, I think we've got 60 copies of our spring issue and then she's gone. So yeah, but you can go on our website and order.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. All the Cowgirl Problems podcast listeners, I highly recommend if you're going to have any magazine subscription, this is the one. And it's been so fun for me to sort of be introduced to so many great women across Canada. Some of them I'm familiar with, some of them are brand new. I immediately go and follow all of them because I just think that it's just everyone has such a cool story. Now, you launched the Rural Collective side of this empire last year. Talk a little bit about the Rural Collective.
Oh, right. Okay. So I'll make this a short story. So we have about 80 chickens and we sell farm fresh eggs. And there is a local Facebook group in the nearest city that I wanted to advertise that we have eggs because I had an overabundance that month. And the premise of the group was that you had to actually live in the city to be able to advertise your business. And I thought, well, that's kind of silly. Like if you're selling like local farm goods or eggs, you're obviously not going to live in the city. So where else is a good place to spread awareness that I'm selling eggs? So I came home and I told Mom the story and it got us thinking, oh my God, how many other rural women in our area, even across Canada, that have these amazing goods, services, offerings that they don't have a platform to share. Like, because I think so often rural gets overlooked and people just assume rural is one thing, but it's so many things.
And so many things, yeah.
We got brainstorming and I think the first thing that popped in was a directory. Oh my God, why don't we start a directory where people can easily find rural women across Canada?
Yeah. And then we said, well, if we're going to do that, then we need a membership because how can we find a way to feed in like expert advice on any topic that an entrepreneur would need to have? Well, if we have a membership, we can bring in guest experts, we can add courses in there, and plus, so we decided to go off Facebook and have our own private
social
online
platform.
Yeah. Yep. And so women can connect with each other in there and make offers to each other and ask for help on things. And so that's the other part of the Rural Collective is we have this membership where we have these really cool, we call them kitchen table gatherings, where twice a month we have an expert on some part of business or personal development come in. And so that's part of one of the moving parts to it. And then of course, women who are in the magazine come in there and women who are on the directory, da, da, da. And so it's all working together.
And the coolest thing with the directory was our original thought was this is going to connect urban to rural, but we totally underestimated the power of connecting other rural women with other rural women across Canada, even in the States, like on our Instagram. Like it's just become this this community, and it's so cool to see how everyone is so supportive. And I just feel like rural, our heart is rural, and there is such a special quality to these women.
And I know the word tribe is used a lot, maybe overused, but I think when women come in, they feel like, okay, I have found my people. I have found my sisters. I have found the people that I really want to, who understand me, who understand going out doing chores in rubber boots and pajamas, like who understand all those things. So that's part of it.
Oh, that's so neat. And I love that, you know, that connecting like-minded women. That is totally to my shock because I thought for so many years I was just a weirdo, right? Because I sort of like, I lived in the city and I loved to go to like, you know, bougie city things and I worked in TV, but like I can relate to feeding my horses in my, you know, like pig boots and my pajama pants tucked in. And I just always thought that, you know, that was just sort of my thing. And so I really relate to what you just said because when I launched Fancy Lady Cowgirl, I couldn't believe how many other women were out there like me. Like, I just really didn't realize there were so many, you know, fancy lady cowgirls out there. And I think the Rural Collective, it sounds like, is doing the same thing, just bringing this amazing group of women together. And I am just, I am so excited that we found each other. And I was trying to remember if I reached out to you or if you reached out to me, I don't even know, but I feel like it was meant to be.
Yes.
We feel the same. We feel the same.
Yeah. Gosh.
I think it's only the beginning. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And I'm really excited because all of the event attendees at the Fancy Lady Cowgirl, the upcoming event, are going home with a copy of the Trailblazer magazine. Y'all, I've been sneaking through some of the pages. Everything just, it looks so fabulous. And I'm so excited for everyone to get a copy and to be able to just cozy up and kind of read the magazine. It's a little like, I felt like it was a little like reading like a story book more so than, you know, a People magazine.
Yeah, it's
much more in depth, you know, sort of those deep stories that I think we all yearn for. So I just love what you're doing. You're so fun. You're so cool. You have such an amazing story. I know, I'm sure you have 400 fires to put out because it sounds like you're just doing all of the things. We have a semi top secret. I may have told a few people on the call tomorrow. We're planning some I think what could be just really, really cool, life-changing things, hopefully between our two brands. So I'm just so excited that we connected. Ladies, is there anything else that we haven't hit on between the Rural Collective, Trailblazer, any fun facts that we need to know about y'all?
I don't know. I think
we're pretty boring right now. Boring as in busy, so there's nothing like extraordinary happening. I think the biggest thing is I'm turning 40, and that's like a big one for me right now. So
that is, are you okay? What are you doing? Well, is Canada, are you still locked up? Are you allowed? Texas, y'all, is wide open. We sold out a baseball stadium, 40,000 people, I think like yesterday. So we're just like running buck wild down here. Are y'all allowed to, like, how?
No. Yeah, no, we're still pretty restricted, but we're going away for my birthday, so.
Oh, good. So you're going to get to go out and do some fun and take a break from all the work. Well, that's so exciting. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Just killing it. I love it. So fun. I'm gonna laugh when I see your post in a couple of weeks. And you're like, we went to, you know, the Amazon jungle for the, those kind of, I love that about the two of you. I like a good adventure. Well, Jan, Erin, I am going to share where everyone can follow both the magazine and the Rural Collective on Instagram. I will share the websites, all of the things. I really encourage everyone listening, jump on and get a copy of the magazine sent because it is just so worth it. And like I said, full disclosure, I'm not a magazine reader. And it's funny, when you reached out and said, hey, we would love to send you a copy, I was like, yes, of course, sure, whatever. I was like, whatever, I don't know. And then I opened it and you talk, I think it was you, Jan, you even mentioned the quality of the paper's even fancy. I'm like, oh, this is so nice. So ladies, you're just doing such great work. And I am so thrilled and honored that you are one of the Fancy Lady Cowgirl event partners. I just can't wait for all of the ladies to read the magazine. And then down the road, maybe meet y'all in person.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. I'm winking to all the listeners. I'm winking. Stay tuned. Yeah, no. Ladies, thank you so much for joining the Cowgirl Problems podcast.
Our pleasure.
Yes.